Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It is 8:15. It took the jury less than an hour, I think, to deliberate to find Bunuk Landon guilty of first-degree murder and death of six-year-old Bella Fontenelle, and that's the child whose body was left in a bucket on her mother's porch. And we always hear about these cases, and we hear about jury duty, and I thought it'd be interesting to talk to Mark Johnson, who was actually on that jury, and get a kind of like anatomy of the trial and how it happened and so forth. So with that, we welcome in Mark Johnson. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Tell me about, let's start at the beginning here. You get a jury duty notice, I guess, to show up at Jefferson Parish. And at what point did you find out this was going to be the case that you would serve as a juror on?
Yes, that is kind of a little interesting story in and of itself. I did, receive that jury summons to come in for, that would have been Monday of this week. If anyone that has done it before knows, you show up at around, 8:30, they talk a lot to you. There's a lot of sitting and waiting, all day. So I did sit and wait all the way up until it was about 6 p.m. at night. I remember calling my wife and telling her, I think it should be any minute now. I'm going to be, released and able to come home. I started making plans for starting work the next day. And sure enough, bailiffs come in saying we need a panel of jurors right around like 6:15 p.m. at night. So much later than I anticipated, did not think anything would be starting then. But long story short, stayed there till about 9:30, something like that. And it all happened very quickly. And suddenly I was on a jury. They said, you need to show back up tomorrow morning for 8:45 and we're going to get going.
You had to have heard about this case, right?
Yes, sir. I actually honestly was reminded of it that morning on my drive to jury duty via WWL radio. So that was something.
Wait, say that again?
I was reminded of the trial on my drive to, not the trial, of the case. On my way to jury duty, there was, I believe, some mention of it on WWL on this morning show as I was driving over there. And I said, I haven't heard of that case in a while. I wonder what's going to happen with that.
So how could I'm sorry, Mark. How could you?
Yes, sir.
I'm sure during the voir dire process, they asked you if you had made up your mind. The woman was on video with a bucket. Mm-hmm. Was there no doubt that she did it? The only question was whether she was insane or not. What was it that they told you to decide or to judge?
That ultimately was what was actually on trial here. I think it became, obviously even with video evidence, there needs to be due process. There needs to be an impartial jury that is made up of people that ideally have as much of a blank slate as possible to come in and, hear the facts. Because, yes, video evidence like that is, I would say, pretty damning, but it's something that still just needs to be done correctly. So, yes, they were very clear and careful in that voir dire process of saying, hey, look, I know this has already had a lot of attention. I'm sure everyone here has heard at least a little bit, if not a lot, about this case already. But we need, to do this right, we need 12 people, that are going to be as fair and impartial as possible, and who can be patient and sit through all the facts and go over everything and make sure this is done right.
I've had jury duty a couple of times, Mark, and one thing that always slaps me in the face is that it's an abstract concept until the responsibility is yours and you realize, okay, I got to decide if, in fact, this person goes to jail for the rest of their life or not. Did you have an open mind going into this? I presume you did. And as you listened to the facts as they were being presented, were the facts more about whether or not she was insane at the time, or was it about what she did?
That's right. So, I mean, I think it was the trial begun with more about just confirming what she did. You know, the state's case, the prosecutors that did, I need to give them a shout out too. I mean, I've already been telling people that both the assistant district attorneys, Lindsay Truey and Rachel Affrick, did just a phenomenal job of making it, I would say, blatantly and obviously clear that the only reasonable, you know, story here is that she committed this murder. And then once that became clear, you know, the defense was really about, okay, well, was she, legally sane or insane during that time when she committed that act? And that's really what the trial shifted towards, is determining her state of mind, her legal sanity or insanity.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll go back. We're talking to Mark Johnson, who was on the jury that convicted the murderer of that six-year-old Bella Fontenelle, the body was in a bucket and carried to her mother's house, and it was on in a wagon or whatever. It was on numerous video doorbell cameras captured. We'll continue to talk about the process when we come back. The death penalty, I don't think, was ever on a table. She is convicted of first-degree murder and will spend the rest of her life in jail, and rightfully so. 821 traffic now, WWL. 825 now, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mark Johnson, who served on the jury that convicted Bunak Landon in a first-degree murder and death of six-year-old Bella Fontenelle. I don't want to get into any of the graphic details at all, Mark, and I just would ask you, though, and I understand that you're a parent, and this goes to the nature of being on a juror and jury duty. It has to be hard to unsee some of the things that you saw during the trial.
I mean, that's right. I mean, to have that due process, they need to show everything, right? No stone left unturned. And so we were, you know, not only us, but, you know, whoever was attending the trial, which included, you know, family members and, you know, just people very close to Bella, just had to look at, unless they turned away or shut their eyes. There were, yes, I won't go into any detail, but there were, I'm sure you can imagine, some photos, autopsy photos, things like that, that, yes, I know I'll never forget.
Was there anything that at any point made you think she might have been insane, or was it pretty much a weak case that the defense put up to begin with?
I mean, there was a defense. I mean, there was enough to bring it to trial, right? So, but ultimately, I mean, if you're talking about the strength of the defense, I mean, we just to give you the clues with us. I mean, we deliberated, like they reported, under an hour. Not only did we come out with that, our, you know, decision as a whole, but we were polled each individually, and that took no time at all. And it was very clear there was a unanimous decision between 12 people that, yes, that the prosecution got this right. She was, you know, that defense of not guilty by reason of insanity did not hold up.
They didn't, the Jefferson Parish District Attorney's Office didn't go for the death penalty, although it is first-degree murder and there was extenuating circumstances. This is just speculation, but do you know if, do you have any idea if the jury would have voted for the death penalty or not? And look, this is a completely, this is just hypothetical on your part. This has no factual basis or anything. I'm just wondering about your thoughts on that.
That because it wasn't even on the table as an option. I mean, there was no discussion. So I really wouldn't be able to speak in terms of, I didn't even ask or we did not discuss.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
As far as each of us, where what our beliefs were on the death penalty or anything like that, that wasn't even a, you know, and it's not, you know, the obviously the duty of the jury to find to sentence, but the only thing that we were told is we were told that if we find this the defendant guilty with first degree murder, that with Louisiana law, it comes with this mandatory life in prison without parole, without you know, a couple different options that were sometimes available. But no, we did not discuss the death penalty at all.
How would that have changed? How has this whole thing changed your life, Mark, if I can ask?
Well, you asked if I'm a parent. I mean, I have three young children, right? So basically 4-year-old, 2-year-old, and a 4.5-month-old, almost 5-month-old. And it definitely is one of those moments where you realize, you know, how fragile life can be and how quickly things can turn around, and it makes you really love and appreciate your children, and also just love and appreciate the justice system in general, that it can, you know, handle such an act and atrocity and get things right and have justice served.
When it came time for you to actually say guilty, because again, that's real. This is not hypothetical. This is not an abstract situation. You're saying, yes, this person deserves to go to jail for the rest of their life. Was there any pause at all, or did you just, or were you convinced that she knew what she was doing at the time?
Well, I think we were convinced. It didn't take very long for us to reach that conviction, but there was a pause in terms of, you know, we actually said a prayer back there in the room. We actually chose a foreman that was not only our leader with the jury, but also just happened to be, I'm sure this was divine intervention, but a spiritual leader as well. Our foreman actually got out a Bible from his bag, and we said, hey, can we just pause? And yes, take this pause to appreciate the seriousness of what we are about to do, and let's say a prayer and make sure everyone has said their piece, and let's get this right. So there definitely was a pause, and there was an appreciation for, you know, taking this seriously and understanding really the implications of what's going to happen once we write down something on this piece of paper.
Mark, thanks for taking the time and sharing your thoughts with us, because I know it wasn't easy. And that just goes to the importance of why you shouldn't try to get out of jury duty. It is all our responsibility to do so. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. All right, 8:30, we'll take a break. We come back, we're going to talk about temperatures heating up, more bugs that could bug your pets. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we'll go to Dave Cohen. 8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It always amazes me, ever since I was a kid, listening to the radio, how out of nowhere an Almond Joy commercial would pop up. And it just happened. I don't know why that is, or I don't know the reasons for it, but it's just an observation. Another observation is that we're into the heat and humidity. It's May 2nd here, and that means flea and tick season for dogs and cats and all the lovable pets that we have. Dr. Gary Levy joins us now, veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital, to talk about it. How you doing, Dr. Levy?
I'm well, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I am okay. I got a dog, Teddy, that, you know, they got these. As a veterinarian, this is off the topic, but have you ever found a toy to truly be indestructible that wasn't made of steel?
No, definitely not.
They stuff them, and then they rip the stuffing up out, and it looks like the pig, for example, that Teddy recently destroyed, looks like he had too much Wegovy, or too much whatever you call that stuff, because they got a... They got all the sag and skin all over, nothing on the inside, you know? Let's talk about fleas and ticks and what people need to be aware of.
You bet. I mean, we got spoiled with this beautiful, mild April, but as soon as these 80s and the heat and humidity hit in May, the fleas will be coming back with a vengeance, for sure. So, I mean, you need to try and get ahead of it and make sure they're on a preventative, you know. And probably the best one that we've been using for dogs has been an oral 3-month tablets called Bravecto. That seems to be the one that's been the most resistant to having breakthrough flea problems. So Cats have a similar one. It's a 3-month topical for them, but and hopefully we're by the end of this year, they're promising us that one, perhaps in a year-long injectable, which would be nice because that's the way we've gone with the heartworm preventatives, which are nice.
Yeah, let's talk about mosquitoes and heartworms as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, that, you know, fleas are a nuisance. Heartworms are deadly. So, yeah, I mean, the arrival of a 6 or 12 month injection to prevent heartworms has been a life changer, you know, for the dogs especially. I mean, because we, the humans, are bad about remembering to do it, whether it was daily in the old days or even monthly. You know, the biggest reason dogs get heartworms is they're not on preventative or we're not giving it the way it's prescribed, which is once a month, the standard one. So the injectable versions are the way to go with that, because mosquitoes are the way that that's transmitted. And even if your dog is predominantly inside, you know, how many of us have never seen mosquitoes inside? So, yeah, stay on that. But the fleas, go ahead.
No, I just want to open a text line here at 504-260-1870 if anybody has any questions or comments about flea protection of their pets or ticks, et cetera. But finish your thought, Gary, please.
No, just that, the you know, staying ahead of it is much easier than by the time you've got a flea infestation. The creatures are incredible. I mean, you know, each female flea can lay 50 eggs a day. So it doesn't take long before you're totally behind the eight ball and trying to, you know, so be aware of outdoor, you know, surroundings too. I mean, fleas hate direct sunlight. So, you know, you're not going to get them on the levee where there's no trees, things like that. It's going to be shadier, moist areas, things like that, especially around your house. Raised houses here, horrible. You know, if you've got a problem with other wildlife outside, including stray cats and raccoons and possums, things like that, the squirrels get a bad rap. They don't carry fleas, so don't worry about the squirrels. But, you know, make sure you, if you've got a problem, not only treat the pet, but you may have to treat the environment as well. And the best one I like there is a granule. You can get at the big box stores called Over and Out. The active chemical ingredient is bifenthrin, and it's an easy one to spread out like you would weed and feed, and you just do it twice a year, and it does. You'll find it's mostly labeled as a fire ant protector, but it does fire ants, it does fleas, it does termites. Really easy and safe to get ahead of that.
I'm getting a couple of texts here. We'll pass them along to Dr. Gary Levy when we come back. We're talking about flea and tick season and your dogs and cats and how to keep them safe. And the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk text line is open at 504-260-1870 if you got any questions. Somebody texted in, this is a pretty good question. How does the medicine work once it's inside the dog or the cat? Because does it mean when the fleas bite the dog or cat, do they die, and or do they not want to be attracted to the dog or cat? We'll find out. We come back 8:51, 9 till 9. Traffic now, WWL. 8:57, 3 till 9. Couple of minutes left. Tommy Tucker, WWR, with Dr. Gary Levy, veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital. We're talking about heartworms and fleas and ticks. And, Doctor, somebody texted it in, and I've always wondered that myself. The injectable, not the injectable, I guess the medicine that the dogs or cats eat, does that change their blood or something? Do the fleas bite the dog and then they die? Or does it make the dogs not attractive to, or cats to the fleas? How does that work?
No, it is the blood meal that the flea takes that poisons the flea, you know, but it's a safe enough product that it's very specific towards the flea's nervous system that it doesn't adversely affect the dogs and the cats. So they do have to bite them to die, but then very quickly, dead fleas don't lay eggs. So that's how you quickly get control of the population.
So is there a combination, somebody wants to know, heartworm and flea medicine that you can get?
There are. I mean, the standards in those are several now that you give monthly that will cover preventing heartworms, fleas and ticks, as well as intestinal parasites. So, yeah, again, the key with that is you got to be good and vigilant about remembering to do that monthly, because if you miss a dose, you know, down here, you're going to get in trouble sooner than later.
I know they used to do this stuff where you would rub it on the neck of the pet. Do they still have those, and do you recommend that or not?
They still have those. I mean, we've found that the systemic, the ones they take orally or injectably, or, you know, there's, you don't have to worry about lack of absorption. You don't have to worry about putting it on and 10 minutes later they're outside and they're jumping in the pool, or they get rained on, and have they absorbed enough to be effective? You know, And then you gotta keep them away from being touched or rubbing against furniture for a few minutes too. So yeah, the trend is certainly moving toward the oral and injectable ones as opposed to relying on the topical ones. If you think back, you know, decades ago when we were spraying and dipping and bathing, and that has totally become, you know, ineffective for the most part at controlling fleas. So a lot of the topicals are less effective as well.
Real quick, just 40 seconds left. Does the same medicine prevent ticks as fleas, or is that a different thing?
No, it does. Most of the ones out there are going to do both fleas and ticks. And ticks are, you know, I tell people you either always have ticks or you never have ticks. Or, if you go a different place out in the country, you might be exposed to it. But it's not like fleas where they can come out of nowhere because somebody moves in next door and you've got a number of new, now untreated pets, up against your fence.
Thank you, Doc. Appreciate your time as always. And if you miss the flea prevention, just get on top of it, right?
You bet. Take care, Tommy. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Dr. Gary Levy, veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital. We love our little furry friends. We also love Ian McNulty, who's coming up next. Talk about eating and drinking. Then in the second half of the hour, we're going to talk to Tyler Shucks, high school head coach. Get the background on that young man. A lot coming up. Stay with us.